Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Productions presenting Black Urban America. Now, tonight, before I go into about tonight, Black Urban America airs Tuesday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. On Saturday, we have Provocative Thought by Cultist Steve. His show airs from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. On the last Thursday of each month, we have Shades of a Nation by Michael Francis Sr. The show airs from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, Mr. Francis is a part of a corporation called Legal Shields. And We Talk Production is partnering with Legal Shields to provide a service for the community. For more information, you can contact me, Kenny Jones, at 404-482-4804. We Talk Production also offer a large listening audience at competitive rates. Now, with this large listening audience, we are seeking advertisement and sponsorship. If you want your product advertised with We Talk Production, as in with Legal Shields, please contact Kenneth Jones at 404-482-4804. Now, we're going to talk tonight about a certain population that we all are concerned about, and that is our youth. But I want to give you a couple of numbers, analytical numbers, data, to see how well our youth are doing today. Well, it appears, according to Act for Youth, 61% of Black teens are living below the poverty line. However, 66% of Black teens live with both parents. That is a significant improvement over the past 5 years. Excuse me. 66% of Black teens live with both parents. And that is according to Act for Youth. Also, in 2014, Act for Youth has some results. 54% of seniors in high school are substance free. 54%, that's just half of our black youth, which is also an improvement, with 86% of eighth graders reporting that they are substance free. With all of that, we still have an issue with our youth incarceration. According to Teen Vogue, on any given night, 47,000 youths are locked up, and 69% are black and brown youth, with 73% of the 47,000 on nonviolent crime. So even though there are improvements, there are some issues we still have to address. And on the line, we have a youth advocate. Her name is Miss June Washington. How you doing, June?
I'm fine. How are you, Mr. Jones?
I'm fine, Miss Washington. What is a youth advocate for our people that don't know?
Well, our program is a youth advocate program. It's nationwide. Youth advocate program provides youth and their families with intensive support in their home, school, and communities. And we use a wraparound advocacy model. We work with keeping youth in a community and out of incarceration and group homes. So we pair up with families as a family unit, just like we're one of the family, to work on whatever the problem is to get the family to a healthier level of functioning so that the youth will remain in the home.
So, Ms. Washington, before I go on, anyone that want to make a comment or ask a question, please dial 909-265-9215. That's 909-265-9215. That's all you guys that are listening from your laptops and notepads. Give us a call. Now, in working with these families, are these youth at risk?
Yes, they are at risk of being removed from the home. Some of them have been removed from the home. Our advocacy program works with the kid in reunification of bringing them back into the community. And we also have a mentoring program that works with preventing kids from being taken out of the home and put into a facility.
Now, okay, I'm getting ready to ask a two-part question. The first part of my two-part question is, what are some of the issues that the youth of today are facing? And where a child is removed from the home, what type of behaviors that you are witnessing or observing when they are removed?
Youth are removed from the home for various reasons. The youth we work with are called offenders. Usually they're not in for curfew. They're out stealing cars, breaking in homes, fighting, using drugs. They're at risk. Their behaviors are at risk. Some of our kids are removed from the home because they may have mental and emotional problems that the parent is unable to deal with or work with. We work with those parents to teach them parenting skills and teach them how to work with kids, for instance, with autism, on an autism spectrum, kids who are authority defiant. So we work with the parents to resolve some of those issues, and we work with the youth so that they can be able to maintain themselves. Some of the kids they have poor impulse control. They have they're in need of social behaviors. It varies. Some of these behaviors occur because the kid really wasn't they weren't taught, and so we're in a community where we think when a kid is raised, you know how you want your child to be. And you just normally think that's how a child grows. But our kids have to be taught. We have to take time with them. We have to teach them. Some kids, it's easy. They pick up from their environment. Some kids, really, you really have to break everything down for them, you know, teach them. And that's what's wrong with parents today. It's not that the parents are bad. Most parents are really busy trying to make a living. I have parents who leave one job going to another to try to keep a roof over the youth's head. So most of the time, those youths are unsupervised, and that's where the problem begins. Or we may have people who are supposed to be supervising them but really provide very little supervision, and that's where the youth advocate comes in. We really look for more community participation. I know when I was coming up, we called these programs now Neighborhood Watch. Whenever we did something, everybody in the neighborhood watched you, and they corrected your behavior. Well, of course, you know that doesn't happen today. So the problems that our community face are multifaceted. You can't just label and say it's one thing. It's so many things. And this conversation can go left, right, up, down. But the youth we work in the schools to prevent the pipeline from school to jail. We work with kids who are not functioning up to par academically because that's why they drop out. They feel that they can't do the work. They feel stigmatized, and so they want to run away from the problem. And we work with the kids to stay in the school. There are behaviors that cause the teachers to feel that this kid is disruptive, he shouldn't be in school, and they call the police. That's where your pipeline of school starts. We work with alleviating those problems and setting up mediators to work with those kids and teachers so that we can minimize the negative behaviors that disrupt the classroom and disrupt the learning environment to keep the kid in school. And that's what a youth advocate does.
Now, you said that a lot of kids are removed due to parents not being able to deal with their behaviors. What do you say about the article that I just got the number from, the stats from, where it said that the 66% of children with both parents are in that these parents are providing a positive environment for their children?
And it's not that the parents are not providing a positive environment. It's right now, economically, parents they just have to work more, and they're unable to provide the supervision that the youth needs. I mean, I go into the homes. The homes are well kept. They have food. They have roofs over their heads. But the parents have to work to survive, and that's where the problem comes in now. And
so,
when the youth is supervised, that's when they invent things to do to entertain themselves, and that's where problems come in.
Okay, so due to the economic conditions in these neighborhoods create a lack of supervision for youth in these neighborhoods. So what happened to making referral to, like, after-school programs, recreation centers, getting them involved with different activities? So by the time they come home, they can, you know, they'll have to be unsupervised for a certain amount of time.
That's something that we are really, really trying to create more of. At one time, we did have a lot of recreation centers and after-school programs, but I'm in Louisiana, and right here, here we are struggling with our budgets. So they've cut all the programs. They've cut out a lot of NORD recreation programs, so we don't have a lot of these programs for kids. As a matter of fact, people who used to have programs, we had sweet shops, we had gymnasiums, they said they stopped doing it because one thing was insurance was higher. The violence that they encountered, they didn't have enough people to work with them to help supervise you. So a lot of these programs that we had, or a lot of these facilities we had that catered to you, that helped supervise you, we no longer have them. We put more money into our prison system than we do into educating our kids and into providing entertainment and recreation for our kids. And that's where the problem is. I mean, you talk to people right now. When I try to get youth, for instance, when I try to get people to work with youth, and I tell them where I work with kids from 10 to 16, they say, no, ma'am, that's it. You know, and you wonder, you are a youth yourself one time. So you wonder, what makes people, why don't we want to invest in our youth anymore?
Let me ask you this, Ms. Washington. Why is there such a resistance from adults today to interact with the youth? Why is there such a resistance?
Well, it used to be easy
to find a football and a basketball coach for 8th to 9th graders, 7th graders, and whatnot. Now, they're looking all over the place. Why we don't want to work with them? With their post-millenniums.
Yeah, we have to admit that the youth is different. Mm-hmm. For instance, I know when I came up, my mother and father worked, and we would call latchkey kids. Mm-hmm. We locked that door, and we didn't know. But you can't do that with youth today. We have a lot of kids are exposed to more at an earlier age. They're doing more. They know more than me when they're 10 and 11, you know. And that's one of the problems. The other problem is, even with finding people to work with you, you have to go through all kinds of screening, and you see all of these problems with sexual predators. I mean, all of this is involved. I mean, sometimes kids will say things out of anger about the person who's supervising them. So, you know, you have to have a heart. You have to have a measure of discipline, and we're in a fast-paced world, and so that's where we are right now. And so we have to have more people who want to invest in our youth to realize that we're getting old, and these are people who are going to take care of us when we're in our 80s and 90s or whatever. We have to invest in our youth so that we can have a better future. They can have a better future.
Well, you talk to a 16-year-old. When you talk to an average 16-year-old, what are some of the issues that they are concerned about?
Well, when you say talk to them, I listen to them. That's one. I listen to 16-year-old. We're going through, the kids are going through a time when they're learning themselves, their bodies. They're unsure about everything around them. They want to be accepted. It's the same thing you went through when you were 15 or 16. It's no difference. Except the peer pressure and the fast pace, it's overwhelming for you today. And so if I have a mother and father who's working to pay the rent, keep the lights on, keep food on the table, and I want a $100 pair of Jordans so that I can feel like I'm a part of everybody else. I fit in. I'm not standing out. You know, that's where a problem starts. One of the issues today is, I know when I was 16 years old, I was able to work. We had COE and DE, distributive education and cooperative education. Now the labor laws are more rigid. If a kid is 14 to 15, as a matter of fact, you can't work until you are 14. But if you're employed and you're 16, the employers, after every 5 hours, they have to give you a 30-minute break. During school hours, you can't work past 10 o'clock. During school days, you can't work more than 3 hours a day, more than 18 hours a week. Therefore, these rules... They're they're a lot for the employers. So employers won't even hire 16-year-olds. So if I want to make my own money, what do? I can cut grass, I can babysit, you know, and a lot of people don't even trust people coming in their yards to cut the grass anymore. You know how I used to run around with a lawnmower and ask people, can you cut their grass? Now you can risk, you are at risk of being shot just coming up to a neighbor's door, you know, ringing a doorbell, asking them, can you cut their grass? So times are different, you know, and so 16-year-olds become innovative when it comes down to making money. So they may become street pharmacists or they may do other things to make money to get what they want. And that's where a lot of our youth get caught up in the justice system. And that's where Youth Advocate Program steps in. And we have a part of our program that's called Supported Work, where we find employers in the neighborhood who will teach kids employability skills, and we pay the youth. So we see so many different problems with the youth, but the most important thing is keeping them out of the juvenile justice system and out of that pipeline to jail, the school pipeline from school to jail.
Once they get part of the justice system, the criminal justice system, it could be a revolving door.
Yes, and some really feel it's by design. I'm not saying it is.
It's by design. There's evidence. It's by design. And that's a whole different show. It is by design, believe you me.
Another problem with kids going to the juvenile justice system, if they're taken out of the home because of negative behaviors, criminal behaviors, and they're put into a facility, a juvenile detention center, or
some go to adult facilities.
Yeah, the parent is charged.
Depending on the crime.
The parent has to pay child support back to the facility. They have to pay supervision fees because now that kid is in the supervision of someone else. And so the state is paying for that child to be in that facility or that group home, and the parent now has to reimburse the state.
Hold up, Miss Washington. Hold up for a second. You mean to tell me my son or daughter get arrested, they're found guilty, they got to do a little time. While they're doing that time and they get paid by the federal government and corporations, you mean to tell me I got to pay them for locking up my kids?
Yes. Yes, you have to pay them supervision kids, supervision fees. You have to pay court fees and supervision fees because while your child is out of your care, custody, and control, someone else is supervising them. So you have to reimburse the state their fees for providing that supervision for your child while he was out of the home.
What a scam. First, you take our kids away, and now we got to pay you for taking our kids away. That's nice.
And it causes a further financial burden upon the family. You know, the child is back home, and it causes resentment because a parent is working hard to provide for her family. She has a child back home. Now she has to reimburse the state. She has to pay child support. And sometimes parents become resentful toward their child, and the child feels it. And so it causes a problem with the unification process. So that's another thing we're looking at. We Youth Advocate Program work with kids who run away. We're trying to get them back home because when a kid runs away, no kid feels that he can become a part of a sex ring. They don't run away and say, hey, I'm going to become a part of a sex ring. They don't know what it is to survive out there on the street and what's going to happen to them. But that's what usually happens. You do what you have to do to survive. And so we work with trying to get that kid back into the home. We work with trying to find resources to help the parent with, you know, providing what they need for their family so that this child and this parent can breach this anger or the problems that they had. I mean, when we were coming up, we did things. We did things wrong, and our parents got angry with us, But they didn't have to go through the court system. They didn't have to sit in front of a judge and be demeaned and saying and then told that they're a bad parent because their child is acting out. You know,
or
and so
nobody came to your house telling you how to raise your kid.
Right. And that does happen now because it's a requirement when a child is being is taken out of the house before he returns home. Parents have to go through parenting classes, and that they can become resentful of because of that. It's time that they take away from their family, their job, and they have to do it because they love their kids. They're going to do whatever's necessary to get the child back. But that's a requirement because the court feels that it was the parent's fault. They didn't do something right, and this is why the child is in the system, when sometimes that's not even the case.
Who makes these policies?
We're trying to find out.
What committees? I just like to know who are serving on these committees at think tanks that make these policies for these agencies to function in basically our communities. And I bet you most of them do not look like us.
Well, that's why we have to become more involved in policy making. We have to become more involved in our communities and what's done. We have to become more involved. Again, we are wrapped up in our own problems and taking care of our own, but we have to become watchdogs of the community and what's going on.
Yeah. Ms. Washington, now, if anyone that might be listening to this show or download this show in the next 2 days, and they hear what we're talking about, they say, wow, I have a child that has some issues. What should I do? So what should a parent do if he or she, if the parents are witnessing or observing certain behaviors by their kid?
Well, any behavior that a parent notice and is disturbed by, they should seek help immediately. One of the problems I find is that when I talk to kids, a lot of them have been traumatized. They've had close relatives murdered, killed, close relatives die, and they're going through a grief process that was never addressed. We've had kids that they've been abused. And these issues have never been addressed. We have these things will eventually manifest themselves. They're going to come out.
So you're telling these parents that they must seek help. So what kind of help should they get if any of the children are acting now or encountering any of these issues?
Well, they should have the kid examined. We should seek to have our kids tested. Now, I say that.
Now, a lot of
us
don't trust those tests, Ms. Washington. A lot of tests misdiagnose our kids because the examiner or the child psychologist is not culturally aware of there are certain behaviors that are accepted in our culture, but other cultures don't understand it.
We have a lot of people in our culture now. We have licensed professional counselors. We have psychiatrists. We have social workers. So we have people that can they can do an assessment and kind of tell a parent what's going on and what should be done.
I want to tell my audience this. I do not want to sound racist, but be careful. Make sure that it's a competent African American or Latino from a brown folks audience make sure it's a Latino or African-American providing the examination. And so hopefully your kid will not be misdiagnosed. But that's the chances we have to take, because that's the society that we're living in. So well, in the next couple of minutes, Ms. Washington, if anybody want information, how can they contact you?
We have a website. The website is YAPINC.org, which stands for Youth Advocate Program.Organization. They can go online, and we have programs in every state. And they can look at our website and whatever state they're in. They can see what programs we have available in that state. But I always encourage any parent to do their research. And I know it's difficult. Everybody's not computer savvy. But you need to call around and talk to different people, because there are programs out there to help parents with youth with behavior problems, authority defining, other problems that youth may have, substance abuse. There are programs out there, and I encourage them to seek out those programs, but do your research. If I send my child to a program and I don't see nothing changing, I don't see any benefit, then we need to change the program. The same thing with medication. I'm not a proponent of putting kids on medication, and some kids have to have medication. If a medication is prescribed for your child and he's taking it and you see that there's negative effects or you don't see any benefits, we really have to invest in our own and in our kids. We have to watch them. We have to talk. We have to ask. And that's one of the things I like about our Facebook is an open platform. You know, you can get on Facebook and just text somebody. Do you know any good psychiatrists? Do you know any good counselors? Do you know of any Big Brother program? Do you know of any mentor programs? And people will reach out to you. So there are avenues. Everybody have a smartphone. Everybody have a cell phone now. There are things we can do. But one thing we really need to be cognizant about is working with our youth, talking to our youth. We don't talk to our youth anymore. You know, they're human beings. You know, people say these kids out here, they're wild. You know, the only time you can be around, you need a magnum or whatever. Kids are kids. They want to be heard. They want to be trusted. You know, and yes, some of them do have behaviors that we really need to be leery of, but they also are human beings, and we need to talk to them. That's the only way we're going to save our youth. I mean, and I always go back. My mom had 10 of us, and I had a mom and dad at home for a time, but I remember I was reared in a very, very rough neighborhood, and we were like gypsies. We lived in the Desire Project, which was on a map for the Black Panthers and what happened or whatever. But we were raised in those environments, and we lived through them. As a matter of fact, we have a Facebook page where a lot of people in the Night Ward, we all come together and we talk. A lot of people who came out of that same environment, they're community leaders now. And I can remember some of the things they did when they were young. I can remember some of the things we did when we were young. But we survived and we grew up. And that's what we have to realize. Our kids can survive and grow up, and we will stick with them and work with them.
Ms. Washer, I thank you for coming on tonight and gave some very, very important information to the audience. And you got to stay in touch with me, okay?
I sure will. Thank you so much, Mr. Jones.
Okay, Ms. Washer, good night. Well, the key to success in our children's lives is the parents. First line. Yeah. You guys are on the front lines. You're the first line, first responders. So even though we are doing better with our kids, we have to do more. And I know with the economic situation in our environments, I know sometimes that could be difficult. Like I mentioned early in the show, We Talk Production offer a large listening audience for anyone that want to advertise with We Talk Production. And the costs are affordable. And if you're interested, dial 404-482-4804. And as I also said, Legal Shields and We Talk Production are partnering. And let on, if you're really interested, listen to the Legal the Shades of a Nation the last Thursday of the month. See, that's what your fee will cover. You could come on, talk about your product, demonstrate your product, we tell the reason why you have the product and why the product is important. And we work with all entrepreneurs and business owners. Well, that's another week. Oh, keep an eye out for our president. I think he's having a really difficult time. His son is about to be indicted. Robert Mueller is really, and Michael Cohen gave up some tapes. He taped the tape, and that was smart of him because, you know, our president liked to lie a lot, you know, and that's a part of his character. So I'm not going to go into too much detail, but start looking, paying attention what's happening to our political process. Because this year, I want to say this, this year is very important elections in the legislature and the Senate. I mean, the Congress and the Senate. So a lot of seats are up, and so I just want to tell everyone, got to get out there and vote. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Have a nice week.
Hold it now.